Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Human Rights Demand broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Mary Neal. I'm the station director. Today we have our Native American Affairs show featuring Ms. Lillian Eaglefeather. Ms. Lillian Eaglefeather will talk to you about some of the issues facing Native Americans in the United States of America. I will call her now. She has called me a couple of times, and when she was to call in on the station, my phone dropped. We are the most censored people, minority people in America. We are not allowed to talk freely in the United States of America about affairs that are particular to us. African Americans, Native Americans, Hispanic people, Latinos, we are very censored. And we are not allowed to talk freely about issues and news that is particular to us and our living conditions in the United States of America. So I will attempt to call Ms. Lillian Eaglefeather right now, because just as I was on the phone with her, my phone disconnected from this radio show. Other people are in control of your phones, especially if you use cell phones, because they're nothing but little computers that can easily be hacked. I plan to file a lawsuit this week because I am continually hacked. I believe it's the police doing it, and I resent it. They will not search for the people who are hacking my computers, destroying them, taking over my phones. These things are against the law, and the police have a duty to search for people who do crimes. And so, therefore, by them not addressing my issues, I feel that either they're doing it or they're in agreement with it, and that deserves a lawsuit to at least bring it out. I will attempt to call Ms. Lynn Eaglefeather right now. July was our deadliest month for for police violence this year. And Ms. Lynn Eaglefeather will talk to you about that and other matters that she wants to bring to us here today on Human Rights Demand. How are you doing, Lynn?
I'm doing much better, thank you, Mary. It's an honor to be here today, and I'm so grateful. And I just want to start this off with a prayer to thank Tunkashala for giving us another day of life. And we pray for justice. I pray for justice for all the victims of the police victims, the brutality and the killings that have been going on. And I pray that this will soon stop. And just thank you for having me on the show today. Mary?
Well, we are so happy to have you on the show today, Lynn. It is such an honor to welcome you back to Blog Talk Demand. And this is Human Rights Demand Channel at Blog Talk Radio. And you're on the program that we call Native American Affairs. And we want to let you know how very hurt we are that Paul Castaway was killed in July. We have many good recordings of you talking about him. I wish we had gotten a recording of your son talking about his own circumstances, but I understand that he was not feeling well during the times that you were making these talks about the situation, and so we don't have him on audio, but we do have many good audio tapes from you, and I will be playing those from time to time. Why don't I turn it over to you now, Lynn, so that you can talk to us, just talk to us like you would a class, about whatever it is that's on your heart today.
Well, first of all, I want to bring to light that nearly 10, since Columbus has arrived, they've killed nearly 10 million, 100 million natives have been killed by whatever. But I have a list of natives that have died recently while in police custody. Sarah Circlebear, she was a young woman that was in a car wreck. She got she was in excruciating pain and was asking for help, and they didn't help her. They told her to quit lying, and then they drug her into another cell where she was found unresponsive. And she's a young woman that left behind two young children, and she was pregnant. Another victim is Mahivizit Goodblanket. He's 18 years old from Custer County, Oklahoma. They called for mental health help also for him, and he was shot numerous times. Alan Locke, he's a Lakota from Rapid City, 30 years old. He had just protested for the Native rights against the police brutality the day before he was shot and killed. Benjamin Whiteshield, he is a relative of mine from Clinton, Oklahoma, who were reaching out for mental health help for him also, and instead took him to the police, and he got shot in the mouth and the face 5 times and got killed. John T. Williams, he was killed. I don't have any information on the nation he was from, but he had a carving knife, and it was by the time he got shot up by the cops, they killed him. The knife was shut, you know, and they killed him. And then there was Christina Tahawa. I'm not sure what tribe. I think she's Paiute. 37 years old. She was, she's Comanche. She must be Comanche. She had a bipolar disorder. And so she was arrested in Lawton, Oklahoma, and she was tased for singing Comanche hymns. They tased her, and then she was found unresponsive by the police. And there's also, I didn't know if I mentioned Corey Kanosh. He is a activist. He's a Paiute, 35 years old. I'm not sure of the story behind his death. But there's a Rex Dale Henry, who was jailed in Mississippi, and he died on July 14th, 2 days after my son. They needed medical attention. He was a medicine man. He was a Choctaw activist. So these killings that are going on, it's just getting to be too many. And our Native people are the highest rate of people to get murdered by the police department. My son was not a threat to the police. He was more of a threat to himself. And now they are putting out pamphlets for us now to not to call the police in a crisis center, in a crisis intervention or a crisis like that. Not to call 911, to call these helplines. So I think that's a good idea there for the mental health. It's because they're just afraid. They're afraid of our people, and some of our people are big people. And I don't know if it's the mentality, the police mentality. I know the cop that shot my son had just gotten out of Iraq. He was on the force for 13 months. His father and him owned a gun shop where they sold military-style weapons, and they taught lessons on how to shoot those weapons. And so I'm sure that this cop was in a military mode when he shot my son, because he knew where to shoot my son. He knew where the vital points. He knew. And his mother works for Arapahoe County Mental Health Department. So it seems like it's ironic that I'm calling for help for my son, and his mother is working for mental health people. And it doesn't make any sense. And I just want justice. But the way the Denver Police Department, I heard, is ranked second in the nation as far as police brutality and the killings. They just won, I don't know how much money from Marvin Booker, who was the first man to get killed in the new jail downtown. So, They are getting some backlash on this because they have a high rate payouts for the police brutality victims, as well as the killings, the family members, and the people that it's impacted. I mean, like my, the people that saw their children be killed right in front of them. I just couldn't imagine that. I heard the gunshots, but it's different when you witness it. And I pray to God I never witness anything like that, because there was 18 children that the cops shot. When they shot my son, there was 18 children that were the witnesses. The whole interrogation room was filled with children. So I feel that the cops should be held accountable for their actions, for what they're doing to our people. Can you guys turn off that water, please? Sorry about that. So they should be held accountable for what they do. They should make sure that they maybe retrain them in their CIT training, because they could have used a taser, they could have used beanbag, mace, anything else other than point blank, shooting somebody in the face, shooting somebody 3 feet, 2 feet away from you. That's not human, you know. 5 million Native and Alaskan people. The cops keep killing Natives as though that we're not here, and we always have been, and we're not going anywhere. And the media needs to recognize our presence as well as our humanity. We are humans. We are not threatening to these two people. They are killing innocent people. There's also another baby, I just now remembered, Justice for Naomi White Crow. You might want to look that up. There's a new Facebook group called Native Lives Taken by Police. And they have a whole list. I was going to try to get on there and read you some of them, but there was too many. But, you know, when this kind of thing happens, it affects a lot of people because it affects the people around me when I'm going through my little depression or my sadness. You know, people don't like to see me sad, but you know, everybody grieves, but you know, it's just I'm trying to stay strong for my son to fight for justice. We are planning some things. I work with Black Lives Matter 5280. I think that it's really imperative that Black Lives Matter and Native Lives Matter unite, because this is a human matter. They are killing us off, and we need to unite. And so that was my thought on this. I was asking other people to call, but I put the wrong phone number up, so I don't know if anybody called in, Mary. Are you there?
Well, thank you, Lillian Eagle Feather. Oh, you spoke so well. And I want to know again the name of that site. Is it Native? What is it?
Native Lives Taken by Police.
Native Lives Taken by Police. And that is a Facebook site?
Yes.
Well,
yes,
I will certainly be joining it also. Native Lives Taken by Police, everybody. And we got that information from Ms. Lillian Eagle Feather, whose own son's life was wasted in front of 18 children. Now, were these Native children who were watching your son be murdered by police?
No, they're Hispanic.
They were Hispanic children watching a Native's life be wasted by police. And they shot your son 5 times?
They shot him 3.
3 times.
Let me ask you, Lillian.
They
shot at him 4 times. They shot him 3 times in the torso.
Okay.
And I never got any calls from the police. I never got any calls from the police department. I don't know the detective's name. I don't have a case number. But I do have an excellent lawyer, David Lane, who specializes in police brutality here in Denver. And he's the one that Marvin wants. Yes.
Very good. Yes. Very good. I wish Mr. Lane great success with Paul Castaway's case. We are certainly very hurt that Paul Castaway, another man with mental health issues, was killed by police. Now, do you know how long the police negotiated with Paul before they opened fire?
they didn't negotiate because I was sitting outside and I listened. I saw how soon my son disappeared from running from the police and how soon the police jumped over the fence. There was no negotiation because I can hear, you know, when the police say holler, when they holler, put the knife down, put the gun down, you know, they holler loud. There was no negotiation whatsoever, and there was no negotiation on the videotape that we saw.
So they just chased him. They came, they chased him, and they shot him. And that's how it happened, ladies and gentlemen. For so many families that call police when a relative is acting irrationally, the police come, they shoot, and they don't talk. So that is so wrong, and that's not why families call police. We need assistance. We deserve assistance and not hot bullets. We're not calling you to come kill our loved ones. That is not the purpose. They're called to escort our loved ones, hopefully, to the nearest hospital where they can get treated for their bipolar crisis or their schizophrenic crisis or whatever. I want to invite you back, Lillian Eagle Feather, on Sunday, where we will interview Dr. Stephen Seeger. Dr. Stephen Seeger is a psychiatrist. He's a great human rights advocate. He's also an author of a best-selling book, and he is now making a movie, and the movie will be about the lives of people who have relatives with serious mental illness in America. So that will be Sunday afternoon at the same time, but that show will last from 6 until 8. Would you be interested in coming and speaking with Mr. Stephen Seeger?
Yes, I would. I also have a guest here that would like to say something. This is Paul's friend that spent the last few weeks with my son, and he's like a brother to him. And so he just wanted to say a few things about my son. Here he is.
Well, we are so glad. Please put him on.
Hello.
Hello, it's so wonderful to have you here at Human Rights Demand, and I hope you will come back often. Go ahead and talk to us about whatever you want to say.
All right. My name is Wambli Yanka, and my native culture. I knew Paul most of my life here in Denver. He was a really good friend of mine. A lot of people knew he was a straight up guy. And he had a lot of good friends up here and a lot of good people that cared for him. I love that. I love him like a brother because that's how we were. And that's how our tradition is. It's supposed to be. And that's how we were. That's how we were taught and how we were raised. I knew him through that and through the system and different areas in life that I've grown up with him. But I wanted to come here and support Lynn because it's a hard time going through this morning, and there's a lot of us that it affects, like she was saying, other than just one person. It's a whole community because we're all Native Americans, an indigenous race, and we all knew him. A lot of Native Americans here in Denver knew Paul. They know me. A lot of people know each Native American in the city. And it doesn't just affect one of us because that person brought a lot of happiness to a lot of Native Americans in this city and our whole environment and society. Like, our societies are segregated. There's Native Americans that hang out with Native Americans, Africans that hang around with Africans, whites with whites. But the new generation Native Americans, we went out there and we kind of expanded our lifestyle and opened up our world to everybody else, and it's been a community thing that's opened up a lot of doors and worlds to a new lifestyle for Native Americans and other people in society. And Paul had that in his heart. He was a really good man, really good friend of mine. I love him like a brother, and I love Lynn like a mother. and I'm here to support her and help her with anything she needs help with. But I'd like to thank you for letting me come on the show and give my support. Let everybody know that I love Paul like a brother. Paul loved me like a brother, and we love all our Native Indigenous family like a brother and a sister and a family. A home, itakuyase.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Lynn, for bringing your friend on who loves you like a mother and loved Paul Castaway like a brother. And he spoke so eloquently about the necessity of unity, no matter whether we're black skin, brown skin, red skin, yellow skin, or white skin. We who love justice must unite against police brutality. We must unite against prison abuse and jail torture. We must unite and determine that we will make this a campaign issue for 2016. Nobody should be elected for any office unless they have a dedication to human rights and have stated their dedication to human rights. Don't let other people determine what are issues that matter to you. Yes, we're concerned about world affairs, but we've got a world of trouble right here in America. Yes, we're concerned about terrorism, but we're concerned about police terrorism right here in our communities, because we are much more likely to be killed in incidents of police brutality than by ISIS and all of these other people that our government points to and says, there goes a terrorist, whereas our terrorists are riding through our communities in cars that were bought with our tax money, with weapons that were bought with our tax money, and people who are paid salaries with our tax money. We should address the terrorism that many of us undergo here at home. Lynn, you have another caller at 1336. Would you like to give that person an opportunity to say a word?
Yes, please.
1336, you're on the air. Do you have any questions or comments?
Well, good afternoon, family and friends and relatives. My name is Melissa Goodblanket. I live in Clinton, Oklahoma. I stand with Lynn because I know her pain. My son was shot. My 18-year-old son was shot in our home on December 21st, 2013. By local law enforcement who's having a mental episode. The scenario in our home is very much like Lynn's story. December will be 2 years, and we have gotten, to me, we have gotten really nowhere on behalf of our son. We have gone through seven sets of attorneys, all have given us hope and all have backed out. Statute of limitations. We have rallied. We have gathered in dance, in ceremony, in prayer, with sage, with tobacco. We have called out to all of the directions, all the elements. And so we know we are being heard. And so we wait and see what will transpire in the state of Oklahoma. Many months after our son passed, he came back and he said, this will continue and continue and continue. It will spread across this land until people stand up together and make a difference. And so that is the key. We don't have to always agree, but we must unite if we're going to have a planet for the future generations that are coming after us. Because our efforts can and will make a difference for the future. And so I just wanted to come on. I saw Lynn's request, and I haven't spoken in a while. I still have floods of emotion. And I've done this numerous times. It's been quite a while since I have spoken on radio or before a group of people. But this will continue to happen until people stand behind their words and rise together and cover this land if it takes all the way marching to Washington, D.C. That's how I see it. Yes, we need to create changes in our own community, but when you live in a place named after Custer, the home of the Cheyenne people in Oklahoma, named after Custer, it's very difficult to get past the politicians here. And racism is alive and well here. We had another tragedy this week. A native was run over and killed, and the driver was allowed to drive away. So this kind of thing continues. And we may not have all the answers, but if we rise up out of love in our heart and compassion for one another, change will occur. And I just wanted to say that much and tell Lynn that I love her very much and that I think of her every day.
Thank you, Melissa, for coming on, and I love you, too. I think about you every day, too. Thank you so much for coming on, and my prayers go out to you and your family.
I'm here, Lynn.
Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you to the gentleman who joined us today. Thank you, radio audience. You've been listening to Native American Affairs. We come on air every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we talk with Native Americans and let them express their own issues. You know, it's time for unity, and we unite together here and make a human rights demand that all lives matter. The Native Americans' lives matter. Black lives matter. White lives matter. We know that Latinos and Hispanics' lives matter, and white people's lives matter. We need to agree that everybody's lives matter. But we point out specifically the minorities because their lives are taken most for granted by the authorities. And so we want to ask you to please join us every Saturday at 6 p.m. Thank you so much for coming on, all three of you. And next week, bring more, because we want to continue to grow. God bless you.
Thank you.
Good night, Lynn. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Mary. See you again.
All right. We look forward to you next Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
And Sunday.
Yes, tomorrow we have a special broadcast at 6 p.m. Eastern dealing with police brutality, prison torture, and the mentally ill. Please ask your friends to come back on Sunday. But on Sunday, we'll be at a different phone number, and that will be 347-857-3293, Human Rights Demand. This is National Network in Action. So I'm glad you reminded me of that tomorrow, that Sunday at 6 p.m. will be at Human Rights Demand with Dr. Steven Seeger, a psychiatrist, a book publisher, and a movie producer, and he's producing a movie about the issues facing people who have relatives with serious mental illness. So again, I thank you all for coming, and we will join on radio tomorrow at Human Rights Demand Channel. Again, the phone number is 347-857-3293. Just look on my wall, Amiri Neal, at Facebook, NEAL. Thank you, ladies. And thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mary.